The reason why I wanted to use the long version of the gospel is because in your printed version, it cuts out the woman who had the hemorrhage. And it would be a real challenge to have the story of Jesus just raising the little girl without the story of Jesus curing the woman with the hemorrhage, because Mark put the two together very specifically. Some of you may remember that last week I was saying who Mark wrote his gospel for. It was written in Rome for the very early church, probably before, or well, it was before, the temple was destroyed in Jerusalem. So it was the very early church, and Mark as Peter's scribe, was really trying to encourage and put courage into and restore the faith of those early church members who were now under great persecution. They would have been feeling hopeless. And Mark is trying to restore their hope. We look at the gospel and you've got four main characters there. Three of them are feeling hopeless. So Mark brings these two events together. The first one, of course, is the father of the little girl, Jairus. He was a synagogue official. And he came in and he bowed before Jesus. So last time Jesus was at the synagogue, he was being threatened with death. Yet a synagogue official came to him and he's begging for life for his daughter. This is the constant theme in the readings, life and death. So he comes forward and he bows. He even, that would have been embarrassing for him in front of other officials and people who knew him as the synagogue official and who knew what Jesus had gone through with being ridiculed in the synagogue. And his hopelessness is for his daughter who is suffering seriously. Jesus goes to go with the official, and then this woman, with all the crowd pressing around, who has had a hemorrhage, we're told, for 12 years. How old is the official's daughter? She's 12. So Mark is really weaving in the themes here. 12, the 12 tribes of Israel. Israel is dying on the vine. That's what Mark is putting in here, and so he really drives this home to his audience. But it's not about death, it is actually about life. And that's why the two stories belong together. The second person who will have been feeling hopeless is that woman. Mark even tells us that she spent everything she had and she's no better off. And then the third person that will have been feeling hopeless is the little girl herself who was dying. And then we're told that she's dead. So you've got three people in a seemingly hopeless situation and one person who is pure hope, stirring up in the middle of all of that. Now, some of you will be able to identify very clearly with what hopelessness is. Some of you here tonight will have been in a situation or situations in your life where you have felt absolutely hopeless. Some of you may have even called on poor St. Jude, who, for some strange reason, they call Hope of the Hopeless in the tradition of the church. If you go and look up St. Jude, the reason that he is called Hope of the Hopeless is because his name was too closely linked, as we say it, to Judas Iscariot, Jesus' betrayer. And it was felt by tradition that nobody really went to St. Jude the Apostle. It was hopeless to go to him, in a sense, because his name was too closely linked to Judas Iscariot. And St. Jude's his real name is actually Thaddeus. So that's the reason where the hope of the hopeless comes in, because poor old Jude, well, it's hopeless going to him because everybody confuses him with Judas. Now, that's very sad, because for all of us who have been in a hopeless situation, we call on the help of absolutely everybody that we know. Sadly, we don't start with the King of Hope. We don't start with Jesus very often. We will go to the doctor, we will go to our neighbour, we will go to our family, and we will be like the woman who has been constantly let down. And it will cost us money and we may see nothing much happening. And it is not that these people want to let us down. It is a part of living that is a part of dying. And so these stories take us, or Jesus takes us by the hand. Ah, nice segue. The woman reaches out her hand and touches Jesus' cloak. Jesus reaches out his hand and touches the little girl and tells her to get up. The hands of hope are the healing hands of Jesus himself. Our task is not to be hopeless, not to feel hopeless. It is to search for those hands in our life. And sometimes those hands do come through the doctors, through nurses, through family, through friends and neighbours. They do, they truly do, the healing hands. Jesus has no hands, we're told now, but ours. And we need to exercise them. That's our mission, as it were, as part of the living, comforting the dying. We are the hands of Jesus. Hope is in our hands because we're people of faith. And people of faith also believe in miracles, and miracles do happen. But as I say, the King of Hope is with us. And this story reminds us that when people reach out, the hand of Jesus reaches out too. And people are taken from death to life. The woman would already have died in one sense a social death. She was a woman for starters, therefore second-class citizen. She was bleeding, therefore she was not allowed to go near the temple. She was not allowed to go near her husband for relations with him. She was therefore ostracised from her society and her community. So at every level, she was outcast. The little girl, now dead, Jesus touches her. He would not normally be allowed to go near the temple either, because he is now made impure. Mark is saying through Jesus and these accounts that Jesus transcends, his healing hands transcend every law that was written by hand. Those 613 obstacles that are in the Leviticus law, they mean nothing. The only law that counts is love of God and love of neighbour, and that is exercised through healing hands. That's what gives people hope. That's what gave Mark's church hope. So we don't need to do those crazy things that happened a few years ago, and I hope they're not happening now, where somebody sends you an email or a letter and says, if you pray to St. Jude and leave this letter in 9 churches over 9 days, the cure for your whatever drama will be resolved. I mean, how dare they turn God into some kind of torturous monster who we have to bargain with? Healing hands of God do not work like that. That is just rubbish, and it messes with people who are already feeling hopeless. Our task is to use our hands for the good, for the building up of the kingdom, and to help restore hope. And sometimes it is the action of our hands that is much, much more effective than the action of what comes through our lips. The action of our hands. St. Jude is not hope of the hopeless. Only Jesus is hope of the hopeless. And we are his hands here and now.